The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This is Sangeeta from Virginia.
Hi, Sangeeta from Virginia. Nice.
Malky from LA.
Nice. Welcome, Malky from LA.
Thanks.
I'm Danny from Orange County.
Danny from down south, Southern California, Orange County. Great.
Hi, it's Lily in Atlanta.
Hi, Lily. How
Hi.
Are you doing? Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm Linnea from Redwood City.
Oh, great. Redwood City. Just in here in the neighborhood.
I'm Linda from Utah. Not in the neighborhood.
Nope. Nice.
I'm Harriet from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Okay.
My husband used to work in, my husband used to live in Redwood City, so I spent many, many, many hours meditating at IMC. So, yeah.
Excellent.
I'm Amy, and I was in the Bay Area, but I moved to Hawaii this last summer.
Yeah, you know, you guys saying this brings to mind this question that I've had, that some of these people that are not clearly in California, like how you guys find to be here, or some of you, like maybe used to go to IMC, but then moved away. Is that true for a number of you, or did some of you just find IMC online, or followed Gail Fronsdal, or Nikki Murgafori, or something about this?
Well, to be fair, I found IMC in Redwood City, and then when my husband got a job at VMware in Palo Alto, I told him to move to Redwood City, so it kind of went that way.
So, nice.
Mine was all through Audio Dharma, and then I attended and still do attend retreats. So, but yeah, Audio Dharma, and this, I hope, continues, because this is even better than Audio Dharma, I think.
Yeah, right. We have a sense of community seeing one another. Anybody else who doesn't live nearby want to share? Like, how did you find it here?
Yes, Sangeeta here. Same with me as the previous participant. I've been listening to Audio Dharma for almost 5 years now. And obviously, I have never attended anything in person in Redwood City. So ever since the Zoom sessions started, I've been trying to participate live, which is quite interesting than just doing the Audio Dharma on my own.
Yeah. Thank you, Sangeeta.
Sure.
I'm from Merced, California, and I stumbled across Plum Village and their interbeing sangha and so on, and Googled other online sanghas just because of the time and I'm in need and everything, and stumbled across this and went to a couple of sessions with some other folks, and it's been fantastic. So,
oh, great. Happy to hear that. I see that Neil has their hand up.
Hi, Susan and Neil in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. And our Sangha here does not have a teacher, so we use Audio Dharma a lot. As a way of bringing the Dharma to our community. So, and we've listened to at least one of your talks, so it's nice to be able to connect in this way. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Susan and Neil. And Lily, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I found Audio Dharma maybe 6 years ago, went to a retreat at IRC, fortunate to come out to IMC often. And also wanted to say hi to Harriet in Brooklyn. I actually live in Brooklyn, too. I'm just down in Atlanta for a couple of months, obviously. But I'm wishing you very, very well, and I miss home a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think many of us find our, not many, maybe a handful of us find ourselves in places where we're not accustomed to, either literally or figuratively. Maybe that we're where we're accustomed to, but we have other people there with us, or people who usually are with us that aren't, or you know, somehow being a little bit different. So then, Christine, I see your hand is up, and then maybe that'll be our last one.
Sure. Hi, I'm Christine. Like somebody else, I used to live in Redwood City and just moved away this summer to Baltimore.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's
nice to reconnect.
Yeah, yeah. And some of you may know that Gil Fransdahl at IMC, he's doing these 7 a.m. Sits that are live on YouTube, so not on Zoom, but on YouTube. And the suggestion came up that he should give a little video tour of IMC, right? Because he's the only one that's actually there, and just kind of see what this place is like. Now that we have, cameras, that you're seeing all of us teachers elsewhere, but Gail's the one that's there at 108 Birch Street. So keep an eye out. There may be a YouTube that has a little video tour of the building. Okay. So I wanted to say a few words before we start some loving kindness meditation. First of all, of course, I want to say how delighted I am to be here and to be joining you. Nikki and I, for those of you who come regularly, know that Nikki Mercafor has been teaching the past numbers of days, and I've been off doing some other teaching. And Nikki and I have been thinking, how can we support the community? So we thought we would try this on with doing happy hour a little bit more often, a lot more often. So one thing I wanted to talk about today is we have this expression, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And in general, it means, right, that I feel a little bit grumpy today. I feel a little bit crabby or just not in a good mood. And when I think of this, waking up on the wrong side of the bed, I think of somebody having a short temper or just being irritated easily. So implicit in even this expression that we have, waking up on the wrong side of the bed, is the idea that on other days, this person has a different outlook, has a different behavior, isn't necessarily grouchy. It's just this particular day. So what does that mean? This idea that, sometimes I'm cranky, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I wake up on one side of the bed, and sometimes I wake up on the other side of the bed. Because in the same way, we could say that those of you who have done some loving kindness practice, well, you might notice that often after we do loving kindness practice, not always, no guarantees, but often, that there's a warmth or ease somehow there's that arises, and there's the our perception of other people and our experience shifts. So, for example, if we've been doing loving kindness practice, and or maybe if we haven't been doing it, but there's a really strong sense of goodwill or warmth or care, then when we notice other people, maybe their goodness is what is highlighted for us, is what we notice. Or maybe they seem more lovable in some kind of way. And even though we might not know them well, some individuals, they might seem that would be worthwhile, or we feel a connection or a bond with them. So this, again, just like this idea of waking up on the wrong side of the bed, we might view people, we might, in a way that makes us irritated, or we might be cranky, and we do loving kindness meditation, and we might view people, perhaps the exact same people, as lovable. So these two experiences, it points to how the way that we perceive things can be shaped by the mind, shaped by the mood that we're in, shaped by our inner experience that we're having. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. This is, we all have this experience that some days when the weather's nice and we're well rested and have had, we're not hungry and we feel relaxed, then it's our capacity to be with whatever arises increases, and as well as our capacity to meet things with a warm-heartedness. So in the same way, we can investigate or just keep in mind or learn from that there can be more than one way to view the exact same situation. And this might be helpful. This might be helpful in so many situations we find ourselves in, including this sheltering in place, staying at home. There's, in some ways, some of it might be really difficult, some of it might be wonderful, but there's also the perspective that we bring to it, the attitude that we bring to it, that might influence the way in which we experience or interpret or integrate our whatever it is we might be experiencing. So loving kindness practice, there's a lot of benefits to them, and I'm not going to go through all the benefits now, but one of them is it helps us find our way towards this disposition maybe that allows us to see the good in others, allows us to see the good in ourselves, allows us to feel maybe increased capacity to be with difficulty as well as opposed to being overwhelmed. So there's a number of ways in which we can teach loving kindness and the ways that we can practice it. And one of the ways that I like to teach is that to have three elements to the practice. One is to bring to mind a being for whom, we'll start with, for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect, loving kindness, warmth, benevolence, goodwill. I'm saying all these words. You can choose whichever word is the best one, is the most comfortable for you. So we can bring to mind, it doesn't have to be like a high definition or anything like this, but just a mental image as a lovable being. This can be a person, or maybe it's babies, kittens, and puppies. And then to use the physical experience, the bodily experience to support us. It might be that as we start to practice loving kindness, there's a small sense of ease or warmth that grows. And we can use this to support our practice, to support a sense of relaxation or letting go or finding our way in some kind of way. And then the third element is to say the phrases. So I'll be leading us in the phrases, so you can repeat these silently, or if you'd like, you could say them out loud. And this is just a way then which we can bring the mind back to our intention of cultivating loving kindness. So the repetition of the phrases is a way that gives the mind something to do, maybe is a way to think about it, and allows a certain amount of maybe resting into or sinking into this experience or cultivation of loving kindness. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture, plus a posture that has some ease in it, has some comfort in it. We'll begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. We can use these breaths as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps with the exhale, there can be a letting go, a relaxation. And to help support this cultivation of loving kindness, it's helpful to have a certain amount of ease in the body, So we can check in with those areas in which there are often some tightness or tension in the body. So maybe around the eyes. Or around the mouth. Those are two common places. I sometimes like to just tuck my chin just a tiny bit, just a really, really small movement that opens up the space in the back, like at the base of the skull, back of the neck. You can let the shoulder blades slide down the back. Feel into the upper back, the lower back, and the chest. Maybe the shoulders can go back just a tiny bit. Another small movement that opens up the chest, the heart center, and the belly, letting the belly be relaxed. And feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling into the upper legs and then the lower legs and our feet. The upper arms, lower arms, and the hands. And feel what the hands are touching. Maybe it's warm or cool or rough or smooth. And then to tune into the inner experience of the hands. Maybe there's some throbbing or tingling. Maybe you feel pressure, whatever it might be. Now we can rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. Just feeling the abdomen moving or the chest moving or maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Just hang out here for a little bit. Just noticing the sensations of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just hanging out with the sensations of breathing as a way to get settled, get connected to the body. Maybe this allows an arriving all the different fragments of our mind can land here in the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, can be an anchor, a refuge. If you ever feel like loving kindness practice is overwhelming or isn't quite right for you right now, you can always come back to this practice. And then to begin loving kindness, bring to mind a being for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect. Easy to feel warm-heartedness toward. This may be somebody you know. Maybe you don't know them. General guideline is keep it simple. So somebody with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Or maybe imagining puppies or babies, kittens. And just notice if even just bringing this person or a lovable being to mind, maybe there's a inner smile, sense of warmth, maybe a little bit of ease. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, while having this lovable being in mind, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body and see if there might be just a little bit more sense of well-being. Maybe it's just a subtle, small part of your experience. Maybe it's obvious and big. Maybe a little bit more warmth. Maybe not too, that's perfectly fine. If there is a little bit of warmth or well-being,
Can you allow that experience, those sensations, to support you? Nourish you, nurture you. While we continue to cultivate loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Of course, you're welcome to modify the phrases and use words that resonate, speak to you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Then we can build on this loving kindness that we're cultivating for a lovable being and include ourselves. Of course, we want to extend loving kindness to ourselves. For some people, it's not quite as straightforward or maybe not as simple as for a lovable being. But we can do this in the same way that we do for a lovable being. That is, bring to mind either an image of ourselves that we are now, or perhaps a younger version of ourselves, even as a toddler. You can choose an age, then perhaps where it feels easier. If it's difficult now, choose an age in which it's more straightforward to have a tender feeling towards yourself. You can feel into your body and see if there's been a shift. And again, allow any sense of well-being or contentment, relaxation, warm-heartedness. Allow that to support you. As now we say the phrases with a little bit different pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And it can be supportive to add to our loving kindness practice, some equanimity practice. So for this, I bring to mind somebody that you know, that you have a relationship with. And sometimes there's a little bit of irritation or annoyance. We're not choosing the most difficult person now, but somebody for whom there's a little bit of friction. You care about them, and sometimes there's a little bit of friction. Maybe check in with your body, see what, did anything shift when I said this, when you brought this person to mind? And then for equanimity practice, we say a little bit different phrases. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. Can feel into the warm-heartedness you had for this individual, as well as the sense of two. There's the decisions that you make for yourself, and there's the decisions they make for themselves. Part of our well-being is recognizing this. For the last minute or two of this meditation, which practice feels like would be the most supportive for you right now? Loving kindness for a lovable being, loving kindness for yourself, equanimity for somebody with whom there's a little bit of tension, or maybe mindfulness of breathing. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Thank you. So I think part of the fun of doing this practice on Zoom together is maybe having a chance to talk with others, but also it's an opportunity for us to integrate or understand or clarify what our meditation experiences are. Sometimes it's not until we actually are asked to put things into words that we have a clear sense of what an experience was like. So for this, I'm going to put you in some breakout rooms with three or four people with an invitation to, you'll have 12 minutes and to just share what was that experience like for you. And it can be really helpful if maybe the first person that goes, and that you can choose maybe the first person who the last letter of their last name, go alphabetical order. I'm Diana Clark, so I would be K. They go first. But just to say maybe a short something you want to share, that it doesn't have to be a big, long, complicated story. And then I'll go to the next person, and then the next person, and then the next person. And then it comes back around to the first person again, and maybe what they heard before reminds them of something else that they'd like to share or something like that. So I hope you have a nice time in the rooms, and I'll see you all back here in just 12 minutes. Bye-bye. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Nice to see you all again. So I see that we have about 1 minute. Maybe I could have done the timing a little bit better there, so we had some more time at the end to kind of check in. But I do want to respect everybody's time. So I'll stay after if there are some questions. Otherwise, those who need to go at 7 o'clock, well, at least 7 o'clock here in California, of course, you're welcome to sign off. And I hope that our time together, as I spoke about earlier, was able to kind of like help create a little bit of warmth and spaciousness and some ease in the mind, which can help increase our capacity to be with whatever difficulties might be arising now. So I wish you all a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And
thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.
Hi, partner.
Yes, I saw that some of you ended up with just two in a room, and some had four, and some had three. So hopefully those of you that were just two, it was okay to spend that time.
My room was awesome.
That's nice. I'm happy to hear that. If anybody has a question they'd like to ask me, you're welcome to do that. Of course, you're welcome to go too. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Dana. I have a question. Do you know in the equanimity part of the meditation, we offered, I want you to be happy, and then we said, I forgot exactly how you phrase it, about when I don't want to make decisions for you, I cannot make decisions for you.
Yes.
I was very happy with the extending, you know, the happy wishes, but that phrase, because I didn't feel like it belongs to me. I didn't feel the need for it, almost.
Yeah.
So is there...
No, thank you for sharing that. It sometimes can be... two things I have to say. Sometimes it can be that these phrases that we're doing or just don't feel quite right. And, you know, I'm sitting over here in my living room giving instructions, and you're sitting over there. And what your life experience may be different, and that just doesn't feel
quite right.
So that's one. The second is... it can be really helpful and supportive to do some of these things, even if they do feel uncomfortable or awkward, just in the same way that we go to the gym and we may run in place, you know, on a treadmill.
Yeah.
That's a little bit awkward, but it helps us to build our capacity. So while we're doing the meditation, it might not feel, I don't know, warmth or connected. But having those phrases in our head and having practiced them, it's more likely that they'll come to mind when we need them in our daily life if we've practiced them in meditation. So
I see. Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The equanimity phrases, really, that phrase really helped me a lot. I've never done that piece. I do feel... when I try to do metta practices, some like underlying tension, even though like I've done like a metta retreat through you guys too, but it's interesting the way my brain works. Every time I sit down to do a formal metta, I find myself kind of having an underlying tension when it comes to thinking of like someone easy to love, because I want to like analyze how it's complicated. And so I wanted kind of your feedback on that, but in general, I just kind of feel into it, and whatever little, you know, thing I have going on, or like I described in my group, like it's almost like a moody, like emo teenager, like, oh, I like people are so complicated to love. And like,
it's true.
So, like, I think I'm wishing kind of that there was, like, more ease, because I do feel like a very loving person, but when it comes to my personal practice of metta, I wish there was more just, oh, yeah, just to feel that loving and that ease and stuff, but maybe I just need to lean into that little moody teenager and do the phrases anyways, it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, it's very common for that not to feel, I use this expression, awkward either, for it to feel awkward and not to feel like, you know, like we just drop right into some warm-heartedness or something like this. This, in fact, is really common. And this is why there's an emphasis on start where it's easy. And for many people, where it's easy starts, maybe it's kittens or puppies or something, because it's not complicated, and we can just kind of give ourselves over to the kind of maybe the abstract puppy or something like this, and then just feel the kind of warm-heartedness that arises, like, oh, you know, that kind of a feeling, not to make it sappy and sentimental, but to simplify it, like, okay, here's some warm-heartedness, here's some I'm kind of leaning forward with my body. There's that kind of like leaning into that experience, and just letting the mind and the body get accustomed or familiar with that experience of warm-heartedness, and allowing that to be really experienced and maybe developed, so that then that can be a foundation on which we can build from, and so that other loving kindness has a little bit less tension. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sangeeta, I see that you have your hand up.
Yes, Diana. Hello.
Hi.
Diana, I wanted to ask you, what is the process to get a mentor for personal support from IMC?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It used to be a little bit more straightforward. I don't know if there is a formal process.
Okay.
I know that we have a number of different programs in which that just it happens that individuals get work with a teacher or a mentor. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and this is something that I'm just now thinking also that for the COVID-19, we do have some people that are willing to help individuals that are having difficulties, you know, some senior students and things like this. I don't know if that's what you're asking for, if you're asking for like a meditation.
No, it's not related to the COVID-19 thing. It's more generic and
So I can say this, that in September, which is, you know, some time from now, that mm-hmm. We have this Eightfold Path program. Mm-hmm. And with this program, you get coupled with a mentor, and then you meet one-on-one. This mentor you meet once a month to talk about your mm-hmm. meditation practice and kind of mm-hmm. the Eightfold Path.
Mm-hmm.
Sangeeta, I wish I could say that there's a clear, obvious path, and there isn't one.
Okay.
Not to say that people aren't willing to do this. Oh, actually, here's one more thing I should say. That we have a online that got started years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's not with Zoom, but mm-hmm. we have an online introduction to meditation class. Mm-hmm. And that also, you get partnered with an individual mentor. And many people maintain those relationships for years mm-hmm. where they meet regularly with their meditation mm-hmm. mentor. I don't know when the next one will be starting. But I suspect that mm-hmm. this is something like offering to be mentors is something that IMC is going to be doing soon. Just a recognition that there's a lot of people out there that we could, you know, use some meditation support. And, mm-hmm. and we have the resources. We have a lot of people mm-hmm. who have experienced mentoring and things like that. So that's what I can say right now.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Diana.
You're welcome, Sangeeta.
Could I, do we still have time?
Yeah.
Okay. I was really at first startled by the, I wish you happiness, and I kept putting in but. I cannot make your choices for you. And I really liked that. And I realized how much I try to make my choices for my husband, who was that person, you know, because I know the choices he makes that make him angry and make him frustrating to be around. And so then I'm always saying things like, don't read about Trump or, you know, and I'm trying to make those choices for him. So I thought that was a really powerful thing when I sat back and kind of thought about it and realized that's exactly what I've been doing. And those are kind of minor examples. I know of people that I've had more difficult things where I've tried to push them toward a choice that I think will make them happy. So that was powerful. I really liked that. Made me think. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm happy to hear this. Yeah, sometimes it can be that when we do loving kindness practice, we find ourselves like, okay, I want you to be happy. And then there's this quiet little voice, in order to be happy, you know, you should do A, B, C, and, you know, and we don't even notice that we have this. And just to kind of help us find our own steadiness, like, nope, these are my choices and those are yours.
Yeah.
And I'll say that, did you play around with I Wish You Happiness, But I Cannot Make Your Choices For You? Did you play around with that, exploring that?
I did, because But just kept coming up naturally, you know. But I, when I would go back to And, that's where I had the learning, you know. That's where, I think... It's really going to be interesting the next few days, because I know I'm going to see more examples of when I'm doing the making, you know.
Yeah.
To make choices for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And other people.
I mean, right? So many of us do this, right? For people we love and we care about, we do this, yes.
So.
Thank you. I'm happy to, that it was helpful. And I've, of course, I've been played around with But and And in there too. And I kind of like the And. It feels a little bit more, for me, it feels a little more generous or open-hearted or something.
Yeah, but I think it turns it back onto us. There's something about the And that gives me some responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I think also the And is really the equanimity. It's like both things, you know, I wish you happiness and I'm not like going to be mad if you're not going to do what I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay. So I wish you all a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.